evening was approaching. Once more, Sugriv roared at the gate of Kishkinda and challenged Bali to a fight. Bali, who was then resting happily, was startled. For a moment, he paled with puzzled concern. Then, overwhelmed with rage, he sprung, stamping the earth as though he would split it. Tara, his queen, her heart full of loving fear, held him in her arms in a close embrace and tried to restrain his impetuosity with affectionate counsel. "Put away this wrath, my dear lord, as one puts away a used garland, for you have had enough fighting today. Tomorrow would do as well for another battle, for you lack neither enemies nor valor. I pray to you not to rush out now. It seems to me you should think calmly before going out to meet your brother. I am afraid there is something more to it. Your brother was defeated and disgraced and ran for dear life and concealed himself for safety. Now he has returned and raises this noise. Your brother is not such a fool as to challenge you again so soon after the punishment you inflicted on him, unless he was assured of help and protection from an invisible ally of tried prowess. Did you not observe that his very roar of challenge had a new note of confidence in it? I shall tell you what I heard from Angad, who learned it from our scouts who ranged the forests. Two princes of unrivaled valor, Ram and Lakshman, have come from Ayodhya, and Sugriv has secured the promise of their assistance. My lord, your brother is virtuous and brave. Why should you hate him? Who in the world is closer to us than he? He will be your devoted servant and strong ally. It is best to forget the past and make up with Sugriv. My dear lord, please listen to my words." Bali disliked this advice. Anger clouded his intellect. Caught and dragged by the noose of death, he could not see reason and only became more fixed in his resolve. He exclaimed,
"What are you saying? Am I to hear and silence the ringing challenge of this enemy brother? When an enemy calls to battle, is a warrior to hang back? Death would be better than such cowardice. Don't you worry about Ram. He knows virtue. He was brought up in the fear of sin. Now don't bother me. I shall not kill Sugriv. I will only teach the presumptuous fellow a lesson he won't forget, and then let him go. You have spoken out of the fullness of your love for me, but I shall humble Sugriv and send him back, and then return soon with victory. Have no fear for me."
Tara, with tears in her eyes, circumambulated him. Praying for his success, she returned to her apartment full of grave apprehension. Leaving Tara and her companions behind, Bali issued from the fort, hissing like an angry cobra, and went to meet Sugriv. As he saw him standing there, radiant and courageous, he girt his loins and sprang on him. And Sugriv, too, ran forward to meet Bali, who shouted,
"If you love your life, then run away! Do not fall a victim to this fist of mine!"
Sugriv retorted angrily, and the battle began. Fierce with remembered wrongs, and keyed up above himself by the certainty of Ram's help, Sugriv maintained for long an equal combat, but presently Bali's greater might began to prevail. Sugriv was in such obvious distress that Ram, who was watching from behind a tree, knew he could not hold out much longer. It was now or never. Placing a deadly arrow on the string and pulling it to his ear, Ram shot it at Bali's mighty chest. Pierced by that irresistible shaft, Bali crashed down like a great forest tree cut asunder by the woodman's axe. He lay stretched on the ground, bleeding. Even so, he was radiantly handsome, and his noble figure shone like a cloud lit up by the setting sun. The divine necklace given to him by Indra shone on his breast, which guarded his life and fortune. This jewel and Ram's dart and the bleeding wound all added luster to his mighty body. Astounded at being hit and laid low, when he least expected it from an unknown quarter, Vali looked round in perplexed surprise and saw Ram and Lakshman approaching him with bow in hand. With tears of indignant wrath and in a voice faint with approaching death, he accused them of ignoble treachery in dealing death to a person engaged in combat with another. He said,
Ram, you are the son of Emperor Dasarath, born of a noble race and famous by your own exploits. How did you bring yourself to do this deed? The world is full of praises for your valor and virtue. And yet, while I was absorbed in a battle with another, you came unseen and from behind, shot a fatal arrow at me. How false and undeserved is your reputation for manly virtue, for truth, and forbearance. What will the world think of you now? What harm have I ever done to you? Did I come out to fight with you? You have killed me like an assassin, concealing yourself behind the trees. For a royal prince to kill an innocent person in this way is a grievous sin. You are unworthy of kingship. My greatest sorrow is that I am killed by a base and sinful wretch. If it was a battle with me you wanted, I would have given it to you. And slain by me in fair combat, you might have been lying in the dust as I do now. Or if it was help to recover your Sita, I would have won her back for you in a day. I would have killed Ravan and dragged his body with a rope round his neck and placed it at your feet. No matter where he has hidden Sita, I would have discovered her and restored her to you. All who are born must die. This is the law. I do not, therefore, grieve for my death. Still, your sin is great in killing me in this treacherous way.
But Ram replied, O Vali, why do you rail against me like a child, since you are wholly ignorant of the traditions of duty, profit, and social convention? Without consulting your elders, who are held in respect by the Brahmins, in your monkey-like folly, you have presumed to address me thus, even though I am filled with goodwill towards you. You have acted in opposition to the moral law. While Sugriv was still alive, you have had sexual relations with his wife Ruma, your sister-in-law. O perverse wretch, just to gratify your lust, you have violated the code of morality. Therefore, O Vanara, because you have done this, you have received this retribution. Being a warrior of a noble race, I am incapable of tolerating your villainy. The man who subjects his daughter, his sister or his sister-in-law to his lust is punishable by death. This is the law. Though my brother Bodit is now the king, we execute his wishes. How can you, who have transgressed the law, escape chastisement? He who refuses to heed the law will be judged according to the law by the monarch. Bodit desires to suppress perverted practices, and we, who execute his orders, endeavor to bring to justice those who, like yourself, violate the law. Sugriv is my friend. He entered into a friendship with me that I might recover his wife and kingdom. I gave my word that I would do this for him. So how can a man like myself not fulfill these obligations? For all the reasons just given, you can judge for yourself whether or not you deserve your punishment. You will have to admit that it is completely appropriate. Unquestionably, it is kings who dispense the law and happiness in life. One should never reproach them, nor address them disrespectfully, nor disregard them. They are gods who, assuming human form, dwell on earth. But you, in your ignorance of the law, dominated by anger, did insult me, who have ever conformed to the established tradition of my ancestors. Bali, hearing Ram's words, was deeply mortified and no longer sought to denounce him. He now understood his error, and with joined palms he said,
"Oh, Ram, what you have said is undoubtedly the truth. To contradict a famous personage like yourself is not allowed to one who is of common stock like myself. Yes, it was out of ignorance that I spoke to you disrespectfully. Please do not hold it against me. You are conversant with the meaning and implication of things and are devoted to the welfare of all. In the peace of your understanding, which is unshakable, the working out of cause and effect are known to you. Please save me, for I am so fallen and a transgressor of the law." "All is over. I shall blame you no more. My dear son Angad is orphaned. You and Sugriv should look after him. I entrust him to you. Please look after him. It is your duty to see that he does not pine away like a withering lotus plant in a dried up pond. Tell Sugriv that he should not imagine that it was Tara who set me up against him. Ask him to treat Angad as he should treat a prince, with honor and affection. Do this for me. I want no more."
Then Ram consoled Vali, who was still fully conscious, and spoke to him in a gentle voice. "O best of Vanaras, have no anxiety either on our behalf or on your own. We know what should be done. he who punishes the guilty, and he who is guilty and pays the penalty, have both fulfilled the purpose of cause and effect, and therefore avoid calamity. Thus, thanks to punishment that frees them from all taint, they regain their immaculate nature. Put away grief, bewilderment, and fear with which your heart is filled. You cannot avoid your fate. What Angad was to you, O King, he will be to Sugriv and myself. Do not doubt it. Then Vali fell unconscious.